Hello everyone, welcome to the Retro Asylum. This is episode, just for Mads' benefit, this is episode number 249. Joining me today is my good friend and partner in crime, Mads Christensen. How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, all good. So, we're here to not launch a new style game club, because that is not what we're doing, but we decided, for those who listened to the Wing Commander 3 episode, just to do things a little differently in the way we select the games.
Yeah, mix it up a bit. And
mix it up a little bit, that's it. So what we've done is we've asked our Discord members to each choose just one theme, but some chose more than one. That is just the nature of things. And we are now going to chat through, or in a bit we're going to chat through those themes, with a view to whittling it down to four, which we'll then put to the public vote. And on the Zookeeper episode, Mads and I will be completely selfish and indulge ourselves. And from the winning theme, we will choose between us a game that we will play in May in the Game Club. Is that right?
That sounds about right, mate.
I got a bit confused as to what we were doing.
And we've got a huge list here of theme suggestions from Discord. Actually, it goes onto the third page here in my Google Docs document. Yeah. As you said, a lot of the guys have actually given us three or four examples of themes. So I think we should do this in this way. We'll run through the list and we'll whittle the list down so that everybody only has one theme left.
Yes.
And then we run through that list and whittle it down to those three or four that we want the guys to vote on, right?
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair, I think most people did stick to the rules and choose one.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people did. There was a few odd exceptions and we'll call those out as we get to them. But yep. First of all, mate, how are you? Been up to anything interesting?
Interesting. Yes, I've been playing this game that I've got my hands on through Retro Asylum because it's a review copy. And I can't tell you the title, but I can tell you it's probably one of the best games I've played this year so far.
Ooh.
I mean, we are not so far into the year, of course, but it's one of those games like, do you remember last year I got totally sucked into playing Dead Cells? I love that.
Yes.
So this was one of those games where you pick it up, you play it, you think, that's okay. And then as soon as you put it down again, you need to just have one more go, and just one more go, and just one more go. And I think I've only had my hands on this game for a couple of days now, and I think I'm already at the final level. And this is a tough arcade-style game with great boss fights, and I'm really looking forward to being able to talk about this. But there's a review embargo on it until sometime next week, I think.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to do a little video review for our YouTube channel, but let's see if I find the time for that.
Sounds good. So you normally have one of these games every year, don't you, that just completely encapsulates you?
Yes.
This is the 2021 version.
Exactly. And I'm not going to put this down until I've finished it. And I'm thinking it's going to take a while because this level that I'm in right now is quite tough. But it's a great arcade game. One of those that rewards skill and memorization, because you need to memorize where you need to go and where some of the traps will be. But there's definite skill involved in learning how to defeat the different kinds of monsters. And there are lots of monsters here.
So how does it work? Is it finite lives or infinite lives? Does it give you a credit?
You've got three lives and that's it. And you start over when you're done. So
interesting.
It's not a roguelike. There's nothing that carries over to the next game. It's just pure arcade game. It's beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, it does sound good. I find it interesting because I was listening to, just earlier this morning, listening to the latest Kane and Rin Sound of Play, where Leon Cox McKeel Crowder were talking about the new Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Resurrection, which I've not played yet.
I haven't
bought it, but I do plan to. And they were talking there about how it reconciles the old school difficulty with the fact that you just have infinite lives and infinite continues.
Okay.
And it must be difficult if you're trying to design one of those hardcore old school arcade experiences. But where the whole point of those experiences, as we've talked about many times, are the fact that you are limited in the amount of times you could retry stuff.
Yeah.
It changes the design ever so slightly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
But this guy's gone for a pure arcade experience with finite lives.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
There is a game mode that's called Infinite Mode where you play, I'd like to say, randomly generated levels instead. That's not for me at all. Doesn't do anything for me.
No.
The handcrafted levels that are there and that experience, that's what I'm in for.
Yeah. I think I would be as well. Okay. So that's coming up, hopefully, on our YouTube channel. Mm. Watch out for that. Mads's sultry tones there, talking about this new game, which we'll stop talking about now before we reveal the title.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm going to. So that sounds good. That's been keeping you occupied.
Yeah, it has indeed. Of course, Firewatch, that I'm playing for the playthrough podcast.
Yeah, man, that is so good.
Oh, that's a beauty.
If people are interested in hearing us talk about Firewatch, by the time this episode goes out, our first episode of the Firewatch 2 episodes in that series, will hopefully be released. So do check that out if you want to hear us talking about a wonderful walking simulator / adventure.
Yeah.
Very, very good game.
I'm thinking it's a very good episode as well. I mean, it's always hard to judge your own output, but I mean, I really enjoyed recording that, and I found the discussion very lively and very good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it's like, don't you, when we record? Although it is difficult to judge your own episodes.
Mm.
Sometimes you come off a recording thinking, okay, yeah, that was good. Sometimes you come off a recording absolutely buzzing about how it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's the way I felt after that Firewatch recording.
Yeah, me too.
I thought, that went really well. And even during the conversation, actually, there was one point where I thought, this is really good stuff, as I was listening to you guys chat. So, it is one that I do feel particularly proud of. I'm looking forward to listening to it back.
Yeah. So being Scandinavian, my scale is a bit different. Normally I come off recording thinking, oh, well, maybe somebody will listen to this. And if an episode is as good as I thought that Firewatch episode was, I'll come off recording saying, well, that wasn't half bad.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Are you sure you're not British? That's a very British way of looking at things.
Okay.
I think I kind of try not to worry about how many people are going to listen to it.
Yeah.
And just think about, well, did I enjoy being part of that conversation? Yeah.
Yep.
Am I enjoying playing the game? Yeah. Is the game experience enhanced by talking to it with you guys? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I said to my wife when we came off that actually I enjoyed our conversation about it just as much as I enjoyed playing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's high praise, because it is certainly, well, I've played some great games this year already, but it is up there for sure with the best I've played this year. Or my favourite, I should say. My favourite game, not the best. My favourite this year. So me, I'm retro-wise, so I've still got, I'm looking at them now, my Amiga and C64 hooked up in front of me. The C64, because on the segment episode, I spent some time chatting with Jim. Orbitz IT, not Orbis, as we've been saying for the past 3 years or so. It's Jim Orbitz IT. And listen to the segment episode. He was talking about his favourite game, which is Creatures 2. So I set up the C64 in preparation for that. And I kind of like having it hooked up, so I've kept it out. And I'll plan to play some of the more modern games that have been released for the C64 over the next few weeks. And I also have my Amiga, because I've been trying to introduce my son, who's 10, to the old Championship Manager games.
Mm, cool.
And with mixed results. He kind of seems to get into it and then realises that all the players that he's managing are now in their 60s. And kind of feels like he's all too old. Whereas I'm saying, no, he was brilliant. You know, back in the 90s, he was brilliant. And he's not really getting it. So I might have to retire the Amiga again, actually, just to create some space on the desk. Other than that, some Zookeeper, which we'll talk about next week, and Firewatch. Nothing really to report at my end.
Fair enough, mate.
Should we head into these themes?
Yes, let's do so. So we had, how many suggestions do we have? I've got no count. We had a huge 20? Number of suggestions, I think. So let's just start. I've just copied all of these out from our chat. They are sorted chronologically, I hope. So these are the first we've got. We're from Retro Rich 1884. And he's one of those guys who gave us 4 themes.
Yeah.
So his suggestions were indie games / retro-inspired games that He said he writes to enlighten those of us whom to whom this is an alien area, as time does not allow for research. So what he thinks, what he's thinking of here is modern retro games, right? So not modern games for retro platforms, but modern games for modern platforms that are inspired by retro games. So we are talking Shovel Knight and the stuff I'm playing right now, and other great games there. That's what I understand it.
So I read it differently.
Yeah,
but
really?
Actually, now I think you're right. I mean, he is talking about retro-inspired games, isn't he? Which,
yeah.
I mean, man, if you went with that as a theme, I'd say you'd probably have about 75% of games released, wouldn't you? That seems to be, you know, 8 or 16-bit inspired. Now most indie games are, for sure. So, okay.
Yeah, it's a great theme, though. I mean, we could, so you and I, we need to select the game there. We can definitely find some good stuff for us to play there. So, yeah, we've done episodes about this before as well. There's a lot of good stuff coming out.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And then the second one was sports games. And this is something which comes up quite a bit in the suggestions, which we'll pick out. We've never really done... We've had the odd sports game, haven't we?
California games.
720?
Yeah, 720 as well, yeah.
I suppose you could class that as a sport game. The problem with sport games is that they're very general, but a lot of them aren't great fun on your own.
No, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? They are multiplayer experiences first and foremost, most of them. That would be my only reservation about sport games, is whether, you know, we could play, I don't know, a football game or a golf game for a month. I mean, maybe we could.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I love Sensible Soccer, for example, but it's always been a two-player game.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that'd be the problem with sports games.
So his third theme suggestion is games on the mini consoles. So these mini consoles got him into retro gaming, and he thought it could be fun to just play best of the games on the SNES Mini or something like that.
So that's a good suggestion. I quite like that idea.
Yeah, good suggestion as well. And a lot of people have these mini consoles lying around, not even plugged in, because we bought them and plugged them in, played for 2 hours, and then stored them away.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I did.
Yep.
And then he also said, best games under £10. Pick a console. This could be a mini series or an episode within an episode. I think this one might be interesting to cover on an episode, where we talk about the prices of retro games now on eBay and in those few dedicated shops which sell retro games.
Yeah.
I think it'd be difficult, really, to run it as a game club theme, because obviously prices vary and it depends on where you go. So, yeah, it'd be difficult, I think, to come up with a list of games which are under £10, because it's difficult to kind of ascribe a value to a certain game. But it would be an interesting theme for a conversation, I think, on an episode.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's better suited for an episode instead.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so let's just whittle that list down to one. So we're going to eliminate the best games under £10.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, let's see. So I'm having a hard time with the sports games as well, because as you already said, it's really a two-player kind of thing. But of course, we could dive into stuff like Amiga Live and find some great games, sports games there that you could play in multiplayer mode online. So there could be some good fun to have there. And we don't cover sports games a lot. But to be honest, mate, for my money anyway, that's also because I don't really value sports games that much. I'm not hugely into sports games. So maybe again, what we should do is make an episode of this, because you and I, it would be good for us to dive into some, I don't know, basketball games or ice hockey games. I mean, I've never really played any of those, really.
I do enjoy sports games.
Yeah.
What I'm probably less keen on is to just have a wide open, let's have a sports game theme. What I like the idea of is having a more focused theme around sports, like we've done the whole, I think we did when we did California Games, that wasn't a sport theme. We've got some other suggestions later in the list about more focused things around sport, which might be more interesting. But I think we could probably give more exposure generally on Retro Asylum to sports games, though.
Yeah.
It's just a question of how we do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, of those four, it's not my favorite.
So we've got the indie games that are inspired by retro games and games on the mini consoles left. I'll leave it up to you then to pick which one we need.
So I love the idea of retro-inspired indie games. I would prefer it if they were games on legacy systems, to be honest, because I think then it's more of a tie to retro. I think if you just said retro-inspired, as I said, I think you'd end up with 75% of indie games released. You'd have a huge well to draw from. I'm also a little bit nervous about going there because, you know, we are a retro podcast. A lot of people listen to us for nostalgia, not necessarily for our take on modern games, although I do appreciate there are definitely some, like Retro Rich, who are interested in that. I would prefer to do that as an episode or as a series of episodes, to be honest, rather than have it as part of the game club. It's my preference. I really like the games on the mini consoles idea. I think it's simple. Most people have access to a mini console or two, or if not, can easily play those games because they tend to be the most popular games on the platform. We tend to shy away from the more popular games on a particular platform. This might give us an opportunity to talk about something which a lot of people liked back in the day. So I think of those four, I like the games on the mini consoles. I think that is my favourite.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that one.
Do you agree?
Do we want to choose a mini console already? So we've got SNES, NES, Mega Drive. We've got the PC Engine. We've got the PlayStation one. Those are the main ones, isn't it?
Yeah, so he suggests best game on the SNES Mini.
Well, that was just as an example, of course. But yeah, we can go with that.
Well, was the SNES Mini the original one? Did that, or was it the NES Mini? It's
the NES first, right?
Maybe we should choose first in time, then, eh?
Doesn't matter to me.
NES?
Actually, you know what? He suggests, as an example, the SNES. Let's go with that one. Let's go with the SNES Mini.
Okay.
And I think that's probably one of those minis that is most widely, most people actually have that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Let's go with that one. That's cool. So, and for Retro Rich, we did an episode maybe a year or two, must be 2 years ago now, that was called Virtually Retro.
It was longer than that, mate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Damn. So, been doing this for far too many years. So a long, long time ago, when dinosaurs still roamed the earth, we did an episode called Virtually Retro on those retro-inspired modern games. So there's some good listening there as well.
Owlboy you covered, didn't you? And Binding of Isaac, I think.
No. None of those two.
Did you not?
No.
Shovel Knight you did, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, indeed. Shovel Knight is one of them. I forget which, but I've never played Owlboy and Binding of Isaac only like 10 minutes. So
okay, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
We need to do a follow-up and cover Owlboy and Binding of Isaac and others. The Messenger is one of my favorite of those types. I love that game.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's one I picked up for the Switch and then played like half an hour and I thought it was brilliant, but I haven't found more time for it. So.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Very good.
Okay, let's crack on here. The next one who chose a theme for us or suggested a theme for us was our very own Wisemitz. So his theme is very simple, Zelda games. So, that's an easy win for you and I, isn't it? I mean, Zelda games. I know which one I want to choose for this as well, but let's not talk about this yet.
Is a month long enough?
That's a good question. We normally have 2 months for RPGs. There are some smaller Zelda games. I mean, it could definitely be doable. I mean, the Game Boy one, for example.
Link's Game Boy Color one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd say actually the DS ones are smaller experiences as well. At least the one I played was not that long and it was a brilliant game.
We just couldn't have Breath of the Wild because, it's not a retro game and also it takes about 100 hours.
Yes. So we got, I'm going to pronounce this as Guto Threadbare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So his theme is Host's All-Time Favorites. That would get every one of the hosts to pick their all-time favorite. And then, it would be you and I who decide which one we would be playing. That'd be hard because we'd just be fighting for our own game. But I love this theme for an episode as well. Have we never done that? Because it's so obvious. We should have done that at some point. We probably have.
I'm not sure that we ever have.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, I think we always get nervous, I think, unless you're Matt, talking about Zool. I think we always get nervous about talking about our personal favourite games because it puts it up there to be shut down, doesn't it? But maybe...
We'll be sure that Matt and Steve, I mean, we won't be playing Zool, that's for sure.
Or Action Biker.
And probably not Action Biker for that long, even though I don't have a physical copy of it here.
So it's going to be one of our two favourites then, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So and if we need to pick our favourite, I mean, we'll probably both pick Monkey Island and we'll just be playing that.
Okay. This is where it gets really difficult. I mean, it's like saying if I said to you, what's your favourite song of all time?
Yeah,
it's impossible to choose because it depends on mood and everything else. Yeah. Very, very difficult.
Okay, so next one. Do you want to go with that?
Yeah, so Stu suggests roguelikes. Interesting. So actual roguelikes, he says, like NetHack, Moria, Angband, ADOM. I'm struggling with what that stands for.
Oh, I haven't had a look at that.
DCSS? Nope. Yep. Sorry, Stu. But I like the idea, though.
So we're not including Rogue, actually, because it needs to be a Rogue-like, I guess. So stuff inspired by Rogue.
Yeah, so he says, not the stuff that gets tagged Rogue-like in Steam.
No. Well, lots of stuff do that these days. Yeah, I like that idea,
actually.
This
is very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And I think you've got some absolute, well, very interesting games in that genre that came after Rogue.
Oh, yeah. So my old PhD advisor, he said that Angband was the reason that his own master's thesis took like an extra 3 months to get done.
Yeah.
He loved that.
Yeah, because he just got sucked in.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I like it. And it kind of sits really well with what I'm into at the moment, which is very old PC gaming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd love to
interesting
do that.
Interesting one. Well. Mm.
Okay, the next one is Enricus. Is that what it says? Yes, Enricus.
Yeah.
The theme is futuristic or fantasy sports games like Brutal Sports Football, Speedball 2, Mutant Leech Football, Super Baseball 2020, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I like that idea because normally, I know at least like Brutal Sports Football, for example, or Brutal Sports is the one I played normally on the, on the Amiga. These games are definitely doable as single player games as well. So
yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in this than I am. I've got nothing against sports games, but for a game club theme, I think this is much more interesting.
Yeah, I like this one. Next one.
Gas Tower suggests PC Windows /DOS early 3DFX racing games.
Mm.
Blimey.
Very specific. Wowzers.
Yeah.
So I remember some of these because I got my 3DFX card in the late 90s. I'd like to say, and I played some of these racing games. Toka Touring Car, was that the first one that had these really good 3D effects graphics? Or it's one of the first ones that I remember, at least. I actually loved those. And I'm not really into racing games anymore, but I actually really loved these back in the day.
I wonder how well they or badly they hold up.
Yes.
Only one way to find out, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So my only problem with this is I really love playing stuff on real hardware, and I haven't got a 3DFX card. And these cards are expensive these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a good choice.
Yeah.
So Tex says a simple theme: 8-bit sandbox games. So old games from the 8-bit systems that are kind of sandbox games. Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. Action Biker, Ant Attack.
Yeah. How about stuff like Little Computer People? Is that a sandbox game as well, or is that more of a visual toy or interactive toy?
I suppose it is a sandbox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably not really what we call a sandbox game now.
But no.
I suppose it is.
That's an interesting topic. I like that.
Yeah. I'd need some thought, but I think it is interesting. So King Kong Groover has chosen Metroidvania games.
Hmm?
Metroidvania.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, good choice as well. Lots and lots of great games there we could go for.
Yeah. Play Exile again.
Or not. So Namco's is one of the rule breakers here. He's chosen three themes, like worst games, remakes of old games, and cinematic games. So which one do we want to go for here? I really don't want to spend a month playing worst games. That's something we could like... do to ourselves instead of our listeners and make an episode on.
It's also very subjective as well, isn't it? You know, what we consider to be bad games, you know, might be other people's favourite games, you know? I suppose it would have to be...
It would have to be the real stinkers, those that historically are just known for being bad. He has an example here with the E.T., of course.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could be interesting, but yeah, like, whether we want to subject anybody playing along with us to to a month of playing a game which is critically panned, I don't know. Interesting, though.
So, we've got remakes of old games and cinematic games. So, remakes of old games could be fun because there's a lot of work being done by guys remaking. Like, didn't there actually come out? You just talked about Ghosts and Goblins. There was a Ghosts and Goblins remake for...
Yeah, PC.
Was that for PC? No, there was one. There was one for... I'm thinking for retro platforms.
Oh, there was Amstrad CPC, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe that was it. I mean, that's how I would spin this theme anyway. I mean, remakes of old games onto the old platforms. That would be good fun.
Yeah, and there's quite a lot of that. Yeah, I mean, that's again, could be interesting.
Yeah, and that's something I actually never dive into. I mean, for some reason, it doesn't interest me that much that I can now play an old game on another old platform because I always go to the source. I want to see the original version. Yeah. So it could be good fun.
Yeah.
Maybe an eye-opener to see the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cinematic games is a great thing as well. I mean, he's got three examples here, Defender of the Crown, Flashback, and Prince of Persia. So two of these are cinematic because they're rotoscoped, and the last one because, well, Cinemaware did these kind of, well, they tried to take the movie experience into your home. So lots and lots of still drawings and very, very cinematic graphics, and then tiny mini games within them, right?
Yeah, my only drawback with this is what is a cinematic game? You know, what defines a cinematic game?
Defined here, if from his examples, it would mean something that's rotoscope, for example, and so it looks real, I guess. And then the stuff like what Cinemaware did.
Yeah, I just think by the time you start thinking about it, you're probably any narrative game you could probably say is cinematic, to some extent.
Yeah, well, not back in the day. I mean, I see where he's going with this because if we're limiting ourselves to 8 and 16-bit platforms, for example, there were definite differences between games that were trying to just recreate an arcade game or that arcade feeling, single-screen platformers and brawlers and all of that, and then games that were trying to be more cinematic, trying to have a grander narrative, trying to spend more time doing the graphics, right? And I mean, the likes of Flashback, Prince of Persia, and all of those rotoscope games, for example, tried to make it feel as if this was something you'd watch in a cinema. This was more real. It wasn't just a representation of something, right?
Yeah, okay. So I suppose for Namco's then, we're choosing between remakes and cinematic games, aren't we?
And I can go with both of those. So you get to choose, really, if you want.
I think shining a light on remakes would be fun.
Okay, cool.
Some of which will be retro in themselves now.
Yeah, that's right.
Won't they? But maybe we could come back to cinematic games. Yeah, maybe it could work.
Yeah, sure. So Kit has a very funny suggestion. I like this one.
Yeah, I like this one.
Quite simple. Video games with insects. So like where insects are your main antagonist or protagonist, right? So Mr. Mosquito, Ladybug, Simand, and so on and so forth. I like this idea.
Mm. Yeah, Apedia would count.
Apedia, of course,
I like this one. Yeah, very good. I like the simple ones. Another interesting one, John Shep 100, Alien or Aliens franchise games can also include Alien versus Predator. Lots of games to choose from there.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
I loved Aliens versus Predator, for example, the early FPS shooter. Really good game. And Chris Silver, we've got a sports game here. So sports games.
We talked about that, haven't we?
Yep.
Another show for sports games. Wise Mitz.
He was already there.
This is his second theme. I actually really like this one. And actually, I wonder whether it could be a better choice than Zelda for a monthly game club. Launch day games. Console, computer, handheld, regions up to you. My only reservation with launch day games is that back in the 8 and 16-bit days, it was less common for games to have a very specific launch day. They just kind of bled out, didn't they, depending on how the publisher published. they would just bleed out and they'd appear in places and wouldn't appear in others. And it's very difficult to pin games down to this is a launch. This was available at launch of the Amiga, for instance.
Yeah.
Is my only reservation. You could probably do it much easier with the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, N64, Saturn, that kind of era. Going back beyond that, I think it's quite difficult. But I think it could work for the newer retro platforms. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, of Jim's two themes, my preference for a monthly game club actually would be this one over Zelda.
We'll keep launch day games.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I'd like to have more time for an RPG, and I like our listeners to have more time as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay.
So we've got Bovard. Is that how you say that? Bovard?
Bovard.
Bovard. Bovard. Bovard, 64. So he says his suggestion would be The Best of the Bridesmaids. So we've talked about doing this before. Have we? We've never done it, have we, Chris?
No. And we've talked about it for a while. Yeah. And one of my favorite suggestions.
Yeah. So the idea, of course, would be picking the top runners from previous Game Club episode votes. So that would be good fun as well. Be hard to choose, though, because lots and lots of good games there. So.
Yeah, it'd be good to revisit some of those that just missed out, though.
Mm.
Chrono Trigger springs to mind. Yeah, we could, some really good ones there.
Yep. Yeah. The next one.
Okay. Starbeard. Hit networked or online multiplayer games before 1990. Crikey. Okay, so I like the idea, but my big reservation is, could we get a meaningful game of a 1980s networked multiplayer game today with enough players playing to make it interesting? And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we couldn't, but I'm not sure that we could either.
Yeah. So what could be good fun if, I've got no idea about the practicalities of this or how hard it is to do, but if we could launch like a mod server and then play a mod together, that would be great.
That would be, I'd love that, but I do not have the chops to do that.
I've never tried that, so.
I'd be in the hands of somebody else.
Yeah. I know a lot of the mods around the world that are still there today are all based on what was called the Diku mod. D-I-K-U mod. And that's because that's the name for the Department of Computer Science at the University of Copenhagen, where I studied. So some of these students there made a mod engine that's used pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. I'd love to play one, because the opportunities to play games like that now are very limited.
Mm. So Bryce S. has a theme here that's called Combat Flight Simulators. So he has some game suggestions like Knights of the Sky, Their Finest Hour, F-19 Stealth Fighter, and Jane's Longbow 2.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know too much about it.
Mm. So
yeah,
this is a
good shout.
Yeah, a genre that I've always watched from afar and I thought looked very fascinating. But whenever I started a game, it was so complex that I just put it away again. But
yeah,
could be good fun to have a month to dive into.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's a good shout.
So I'm more into the more... I love my flight simulators, or whatever you want to call the more arcadey ones, like the... Like Wing X-Wings Commander. Or Wing Commander or stuff like that. Yeah.
That might be another one to do as well. Could be arcade flight simulators. I know we've just done one, but bringing in the likes of Ace Combat and Afterburner and stuff like that could be fun as well. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about combat flight simulators rather than arcade games.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so Raushi has two.
I like the first one.
So the first one, games that Mads and Chris would be embarrassed to be caught playing by someone else in real life, man.
Sounds like good fun.
Very funny. Mm. Yeah, I'm sure we could come up with some absolute corkers there. So his second one was single player mods / campaigns for first person games. Organized by games such as Half-Life, Thief, Quake, Stalker, Duke 3D.
I like that idea.
I do as well. I wonder whether, again, it would be make for an interesting episode theme rather than a game club theme. Maybe we could do it as a game club.
A lot of these single-player mods, I mean, if you don't only go for the fan-made ones, but the actual commercial ones are pretty good. I mean, in the Half-Life, I guess Counter-Strike was actually just a mod that they bought in at some point.
Yeah.
And
What was the Half-Life mod where you could play Half-Life from the perspective of one of the guards?
Blue Shift. Yeah, that was brilliant as well.
I've never played that.
But yeah.
Maybe that's a good idea.
If we go with the fan-made mods, we can definitely pick some games that would be easy enough to set up and get people running some stuff within there. I mean, there are so many mods for Doom, for example, or for the Duke Nukem engine. So yeah. we could definitely find a good game there and then put that up. Yeah.
I mean, it might be fun. I mean, if we did say something like Doom, for instance, and we said, having Discord, people posting their favorite fan-made maps for Doom could make for an interesting month.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
Okay. So of the two,
we'll keep the mods, right?
Yeah, keep the mods. But actually, I mean, there could be something quite funny about Roushi's first suggestion.
Yeah, you're right.
Where you can spend a month playing Knights of Zentar.
Yes, that would be good.
for everyone other than us. Okay.
So the next one is Starbeard again. So he's got three more. We've already talked about his first suggestion, which was networked or online multiplayer games before 1990. But he also says these three: Infocom Adventures, Wacky Racers, so races that also involve shooting at each other, and online games from before. Well, that was the one he said before, from before 1990. So
yeah.
So two new ones: Infocom Adventures and Wacky Racers. So Wacky Races, there are a lot of good ones to choose from there. Of course, Mario Kart is an obvious one, but
we have done that before, haven't we? Kart Races.
You're right. We have actually at some point where we were playing Crash Team Racing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was in the BC days.
So we're down to his first, which is the network or online multiplayer games before 1990, or Infocom Adventures. So I know which one I want of those two.
I think it's a no-brainer for me.
So Infocom Adventures it is.
It has to be. Yeah, I mean, I really like the idea of looking into some of these networked 1980s network games as a conversation, an episode. We could each do a little bit of research and have a chat about it.
Mm.
I just don't think I think it could be fun if, like you said, with a mod server. It just sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but we've never played a text adventure game, even though we've tried to put them on the vote a couple of times because we want to try playing some text adventures with you guys. But
we've never managed to get them past the vote.
So if we could get Infocom Adventures voted on, we can pick our favorite Infocom game. That would be good fun.
Yeah, it'd be great. And yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
It's if we do it right, these text adventures, old school, hard text adventures, would be great to play as a community because they are I mean, playing them without a guide is so hard. Yeah. So trying to get through them without cheating, without anybody looking at a guide on Discord would be good fun.
Yeah, we could do it collectively, couldn't we?
Yeah. Maybe and create a separate channel where we say there are no spoilers, no reading guides, no getting in here if you already know how to get through the entire game. This is where we try to learn how to get through it together.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see us playing Zork.
yeah. Or Planet 4.
Yeah.
Or
I love that game.
Yeah. So Not Minor Willy says Wipeout series.
Yeah. Straightforward enough.
Yeah.
I think it's a good shout. There's been enough entries in the Wipeout series to justify that having a theme on its own. So I think that works.
Yeah. And finally, the last one is John V. He's got three themes.
John V. So three themes. Three themes.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Bullfrog games. I really like this one. The development studio, not games featuring bullfrogs.
Oh, damn.
Thank you for the clarification, John. I was a little bit worried. So games made or published, I suspect, by Bullfrog.
Yeah, great suggestion.
Which I think would be very interesting. Mm. Football games, I think read above for sports games, I'd have the same issues. Could be interesting, but most people, I think, associate football games with multiplayer. There may be ways and means.
Mm.
For a month, I think. I'm not sure. And games made on the year of birth of each of the hosts. Now, the issue with this, Matt, is that they weren't making games when you were born.
You're so funny. And if we need to pick something from Chris's birth year, it'd be like a PS4 game, so that would be no fun.
Chris the baby. 1981 could work for me, but 1971 So what, well,
that's a great game since 77, so it'll be easy to pick some good ones here.
There weren't really all that many great games in 1977, were there?
I'm sorry that this is a family show, because I really want to say some things to you right now.
So it's either Bullfrog Games or Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Isn't it really?
Okay. I'd like to go with the Bullfrog Games, because there are so many great games from that studio.
Yeah. And we haven't actually done, not that I can remember, a developer-led game club theme since Gremlin Graphics, and that was ages ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
So my choice would probably be Syndicate, because it's been so many years since I played that.
Theme Hospital is one of my all-time.
Bullfrog Games is off the list here. We need to... Seriously?
You don't like Theme Hospital? Do you not like Theme Hospital?
Well, I've never played it. I've watched my wife play it. I always thought it was a girl's game, so I never really wanted to try it.
Don't be sexist.
Yeah.
It's honestly, Theme Hospital is one of my all-timers.
Mm. So next thing you'll be telling me, you've spent a lot of time in your youth playing Sims, right?
No, never played
that. Okay.
I've never actually played. Theme Hospital's nothing like The Sims.
Okay.
You're missing out. You should try it.
Yeah. Maybe I should. So Theme Hospital, Theme Park.
Park?
All those. No, I never played them. Never were interested in them.
Honestly, you're missing out. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
Theme Hospital's a great game. Great sense of humor. You'd enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, my wife enjoyed both Theme Park and Theme Hospital and all of those games. She really played them a lot. So I've seen them played, but I've never played them myself.
Girl's game. I don't know, listeners. See what I have to put up with.
Okay, mate.
Okay, so how are we going to do this? Are you going to choose two and I'll choose two?
Yes, that would be the idea. And that's going to be tough.
Do you want to choose one and then I'll go?
Is it easier to... Maybe it would be more fun if we just eliminate them, and then at the end there'll be four left.
Okay, we can try it.
But maybe it'll take too long. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's choose two each. There are too many here. Too many.
Yeah.
Give me a second. Sing a song for us, Chris. Something.
Sing a song for us, Chris. I'm going to sing.
Man, you're bad at this. Okay.
Sing a song about singing a song. Do you want me to stop?
So an easy one for me to pick. There are many easy ones for me to pick here. But a really easy one for me is Infocom Adventures. I've been trying to push Tex Adventures, I feel, for a couple of times. And yeah, I really like the idea. I don't know if it will work, but I like the idea of trying to play it as a community and then getting through the game, a hard text adventure game, as a community. So
yeah,
we can even win if at the end of the month nobody's gotten through it because it's so hard, we could even do like some Twitch streaming and then play it as a community like that.
Yeah, and try and solve it. Yeah.
I like the idea of Infocom Adventures.
Yeah.
That'll be my first choice.
A walkthrough on standby if we do it that way, just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, nice one. That would have been one of mine as well. Okay, so for me, the first will be, and it's one that I've wanted to do for ages, the Best of the Bridesmaids. Oh, by the way, that was Starbeards. Infocom was Starbeards' nomination, wasn't it? So for me, Bothered 64's Best of the Bridesmaids, I think I've wanted to do that for ages, and that is where we'll assemble all of the top runners up from previous Game Club episodes. And we will choose between us which one we would like to play. So I like that idea.
Yeah.
So my first choice.
I'm having a real hard time selecting my second because there are a handful here I want, at least. Wow. This is tough. Those roguelikes would be great fun as well.
Yeah.
And as with the fantasy sports games. I've played a lot of the Metroidvania games already, I feel, so maybe I can pass on that one. Wow. This is tough. I'm going to go with Bullfrog. I'm going to go with Bullfrog, but there will be no Theme Hospital, mate.
You're missing out, you know. Honestly.
Bullfrog games, and that was tough. I mean, there were so many others, launch day games, and the Aliens franchise. I'd love to do that as well. I love Kit's idea with the video games with insects in them, and the remakes of old games would be great fun as well. But yeah, it'll be Bullfrog for me. Bullfrog. That was John V's thing.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of good stuff here. I think what we should do is keep this list and invite people to add to them if they get ideas going forward. But I don't feel like we should discard these that we're not choosing, because there's some really good stuff here that I think could be good themes in future. I am going to choose... I do quite like the idea of looking at some 3DFX racing games.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to go with launch day games, because launch day games are always quite interesting in that they tend to be not great. So it might be just an interesting exercise to either pick a console, which we can do, and look at what came out on launch day and choose a game from it. So here we go then. I'm going to say launch day games of, I'm going to pick the platform. Oh, can I do that?
Yeah, sure, mate.
Because I think if we have launch day games, there'd be too many. So I am going to say PS1 launch day games.
Okay. I wouldn't actually know which ones were launch day games for the PS1, so yeah.
Yeah, Ridge Racer.
Okay.
Toshinden.
Hmm.
Yeah, some good games, some not so good games. But yeah. Look, PS1 launch day games.
This sounds good. Let's we'll put out the vote as soon as we release this episode. It'll be launch day games, which was Weissmith's suggestion. We had Bauert 64 with The Best of the Bridemaids. We had Starbeard with Infocom Adventures, and we have John Wee with Bullfrog Games. So I know which one I want to win at least. Do you have a favorite as well?
Yeah, probably Bullfrog Games.
Oh, you want to tell us your favorite? Okay, yeah. Hmm. So
what's your favorite?
My personal favorite would actually be the Infocom Adventures. I have this probably all wrong idea of how great that could be to do as a group, but it'll be great. Yeah. Great fun to try at least.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Agreed. To be honest, any of those would be fun. But yeah, I like the idea of a deep dive into a studio.
Hmm.
That could be good.
Yeah, that'd be good fun as well.
Okay, so this will go out shortly.
Yep.
Whenever we get it ready. And then we'll get the vote up. And then at the end of the Zookeeper episode, Mads and I will announce and choose, probably with some minor disagreements and squabbling, no doubt, which game we will play in May. And I think this has worked quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this works. It's good to try something new. We've been doing this for years now, mate. So it's good to,
exactly.
to do stuff a bit different every once in a while. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We are living proof that old leopards can indeed change their spots.
indeed. Okay, mate.
Any final thoughts?
Not for this, just some shout outs, I guess. I know you need to be somewhere in like a minute, so let's get this wrapped up. Shout outs to Alex from the Retro Game Squad. I talked to him a bit the past week, and I mean, these guys, I forget to shout them out enough. They still put out brilliant content. I love their show, mainly for the great chemistry that is between these three guys. Yeah, I really enjoyed their recent episode on the N64, the Nintendo 64, where Jeff finally got to do an episode on the Nintendo 64. Great fun. Brilliant stuff. So do check out Retro Game Squad. It's an American podcast. They put out an episode every 3 months now, and it's always worth a listen. So that's me for the shout-outs today, I guess. And, of course, the other guys, Matt and Steve and Dean.
Yeah, same for me. All content producers, in particular the Retrospectives podcast, one that I've been listening to quite a bit recently in preparation for our forthcoming crossover episode on Fallout. I'll talk a little bit more about that next week in what I've been up to, because I'll have played a little bit more of it by then. And the other guys, all of our patrons, our listeners, our 780-something Discord members, every one of you, particularly those who are active, big thank you. And Matt, see you next week for some smacking animals over the head with frying pans.
Yes, and hopefully with both Dean and Steve along as well.
Yes, that'll be good. Indeed. And I'll chat to you then, mate.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.
Take care. Bye, everyone. Bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade, for adventures in a fantasy zone.